The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with no time limit.
Super Hot Fire!
The greatest spectacle in podcast entertainment, Mr. Nestlemania!
That was literally verbal diarrhea. I'm setting the bar awfully low. Titus O'Neil keeps running directly into that bar. Get him off my TV, get him off my TV. You make me very angry.
The man who has a better IQ than you, the awe-inspiring JC!
You should go work for WWE because you'd be so up far on Vince's
no,
butt.
No, no, no,
oh, you are
no,
such
no,
a
no,
suck
no,
up.
No,
you defend everything, all the bad moves they make.
This is the Jobber Knocker Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Jobber Knocker Podcast. As always, is Nestlemania alongside for the ride is a man that always does big business, JC.
I had a dream, and I made it to my couch this week, Nestlemania. I am live from a different room, as I have AEW currently on my TV in case, you know, something impactful happens here right off the top of the show as we are live, Nestlemania. And it appears that that might be happening. But yeah, we're here to talk some wrestling. We got a full show. We're going to talk through all the happenings. Raw, SmackDown is Wednesday. That means we can talk a little NXT as well.
That's amazing. And listen, this is a big night for Boston. Obviously, we know what's probably going to be happening here. They're milking the crowd shot, so we know it's coming. I think that her song's probably still like...
Look for our boys, the Brothers Quinn. They're up in heaven.
Yeah, they're up in way. Kenny and Todd are down on the floor, so we'll probably see them.
Oh, there you go.
And then I'm going to assume everybody I know and their mother is probably there, so...
Let's keep Moxley away from Kenny, huh?
Yeah, seriously, right? He's right in the line of fire again. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Oh, there's Monet Cruz in the signs in the sound
yeah,
in the crowd. Huh?
It's kind of nuts. I mean, they're milking this, so I assume that this is the beginning of this, so I feel like we're stalling a little bit. But
well, it's we were talking about before we went up is we kind of expected this to kind of be like the CM Punk on Rampage thing where it just like boom, it happened. This is kind of like what looks like what they're doing right now. But because we know, I kind of said to you, AEW isn't the best of timing show, so it's risque to save it to the end. But you know, we shall see what will happen.
Yep, here we go. CEO.
Yep.
CEO. So there it is. I mean, they're making it a big deal right off the bat here. The presentation is wonderful. This is like live reaction as we're watching this. Mercedes Moné, there's the graphic. Which tunnel does she come out of, heel or babyface? We'll find out very quickly.
They're doing big business here. And obviously we've been, this is the rumor we have been expecting forever. And Nestlemania, it is officially happening.
The graphics look great. She looks great. This is probably a huge moment for her. This is a lot. I mean, we always knew she was a star, obviously, in WWE. Went over to, you know, NJPW, did a great, you know, deal of business over there, hurt herself, still kept herself in the conversation, and always she'd say she is the conversation, right? So we're obviously Sasha Honks here, or Monet, or Mercedes Honks.
Probably. We are from Bosstown, so, you know, I'm repping my boss's make bank shirt, the OG.
I can't get closed captions on this fucking program for some reason. I was hoping to get closed captions. It won't, for some reason, give me any, because I was hoping to hear her promo. But
I should have probably looked at how I put on closed captions on my
but
TV.
They're going nuts. I do like the CEO of it. I think that's pretty cool.
She's pretty much in her full gimmick that we saw in New Japan, as we expected, because as we've kind of hinted at in this program, she was expected to do some business with AEW before she had her injury against Willow in that match. So this was a long time coming, but I don't know. I kind of think, well, she's kind of getting ready here. I kind of want to talk because I don't know if you saw. She did finally do like a very extensive interview last week where I think a lot of the things that, you know, we have a lot of the dorks on the internet that kind of make shit up and speculate. She kind of like answered all the questions that people had. And obviously they don't line up with a lot of the dirt sheet answers, but I'm curious if you saw some of those comments and had any thoughts.
The one thing that I thought was really kind of like telling of AEW in general was like that Sasha basically the one headline for me was I'll be back to WWE someday. And I was like, that's a smart thing to say, but then it's also like on the AEW side, it's like, we can't fucking retain her forever then. Cause you know, this is like,
I think Tony's okay with having her for the short term.
No, I'm just saying like, we don't know how long the deal is, right? We don't know what's going to happen here. I think the hardest part for me is, you know, you hear that right before she enters and it's like, okay, we're on borrowed time. And I think that's fine, but it's just, it's hard, right? When you watch this, you're like, you're excited for her. You're excited to see what she does. But the one thing I will say, and this isn't just a Mercedes thing. This is just in general. Anybody that goes to AEW in general, is that they love the creative freedom. They love the ability to do what they want to do, paint their way, you know, on that canvas. But if we're being realistic here, some of them need to be policed. Some of them need to be told no. And I think that's the hardest problem when we look at AEW is nobody gets told no, really. They just do some crazy. Yep, Mark Sherman, front row. There you go. Pumping his fucking fist in the air. So there you go. That could have been you, JC.
It could have been. I got off work about a half hour ago and back-to-back West Coast night games. Yeah, I wasn't going anywhere.
It's funny. I want to hear it, but I'm just like, you know what? I'll.
Well, we'll see it after. But obviously, it's a big deal, and yeah.
What a goon! Yeah, I love
but
him.
This is a pretty impactful signing for AEW. Their biggest weakness, I think we'd all agree, is the women's division. Mercedes is one of the biggest stars in the industry. We saw that when she left WWE. She retained so much of her fandom, got eyes on things that people never really thought. And whether people like her or dislike her, she is always a hot topic no matter what she does. So for AEW to have her now in the women's division, it is a big deal and a big sign, and hopefully will elevate the entire product.
I mean, that seems like a given, right? It seems like, yeah, we know she's very good. She's got that brain inside the ring. She can do the moves. Anybody can do the moves. It's how you put the moves together and how you get, you know, anticipation and stuff. So we know that she can do it. Well, that's not a problem. And, you know, she's going to have to lift a lot of people up to her level. I would like to see her not come down from her level to meet other people. I think that's the hardest part when you look at this. Now you've got the Deonnas, you've got the Tonys, you've got other people on there. I would still say Britt Baker's, you know, two levels underneath her. I don't.
Doesn't matter. That like gimmick wise, like that feudal work.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. It's hard because she's in Boston tonight, but I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching this, I'm like, she's always been a better heel, right? So this is like a babyface reaction. This is a babyface promo. We assume until a certain point, maybe, or, you know, altogether. But she is a history making moment. She says right here, I'm trying to read the captions, but it's just like, you know, it's tough while we're, but I'm sure anybody out there that's actually been able to listen to this, we'll go back and talk about it later. I'm sure next week. Do you think, we talked about this privately, do you think that Tony Khan will get sick of Mercedes Moné or just forget to play with the toys in the box here?
I think she falls into the category of that is impossible to happen. Like we see it, like we don't say that about John Moxley. If anything, we think he's on too much. We like those types of like stars don't get forgotten. And then even like we look at the women's division, the problem that they have is kind of like the levels of feuds, but whoever's at the top, they usually pay attention. But the idea that we hope with Mercedes is that there'll be more than one or two women's feuds going at a time that get attention. Cause right now it's just like, they have the two titles, which helps keep two feuds relevant, but it's just like, they struggle with the rest of that, but they have three shows. They have the opportunity to like kind of spread it out. And I think what they need to get better at doing is, because I think they're kind of in what the Raw and SmackDown issue had for a while without a brand split. It's like, you're putting the same people on both shows. It's like, you have three shows, like, you know, you don't necessarily need to split the brand, but it's like, hey, Mercedes is going to be on Collision this week, whereas the Young Bucks are going to be on Dynamite. You know what I mean? And not mm-hmm. double up as much, because we used to see that with Raw and SmackDown, and SmackDown just became a Raw rerun and made it less appealing. And that's kind of what's happened with Collision. Like, Rampage is kind of its own thing. It's not really our cup of tea, but it is already its own thing. But I think the idea is, like, AEW has enough stars where you can kind of spread it out, but I think some of the issues they've been having since they've booked so many of these bigger arenas is it's hard not to put your top stars on both shows because you're trying to sell two different arenas. So they're in a tough spot right now, but having someone like Mercedes, it should do nothing but help that.
And I agree with you on that. But my other problem here is, and I'm going to go as far, and you're going to say I'm probably wrong like you normally do, but you're wrong. I will say that, thank you, preemptively, appreciate it. I really torpedoed my fucking 2 cents here. I'm looking at this from a perspective of you just signed Mercedes. You just signed Okada. You just brought in Will Ospreay full time. It's getting top heavy. It's been top heavy and it's continuing to be top heavy. I would go as far as to say that you can split the brands. You can put people definitively on shows because it would help Collision. It would help Dynamite. And I don't like this whole Dynamite's where the new people are. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I think you need to look at it like, okay, this woman's title's on this show, this woman's title's on that show, this men's title's on this show, and so on. Tag team titles over here, six person is over here, whatever. Like, I want to see that because I feel like then I feel like now I have a reason to tune in. And I think that's the most important thing that we got excited about when we would talk about drafts and stuff, which was, okay, this person is specifically on that show. I want to know that on my Friday, I get Roman Reigns. On my Monday, I get Cody Rhodes. You know, like that's important to me. And I think I look forward to that because you can't be too top heavy. So I'm looking at this and I'm nervous that they're never going to commit to the brand split. They're never going to commit to putting people on specific shows. Like you just said,
they tried with the CM Punk thing, but obviously it blew up in their face because CM Punk has a tendency to do that. But I agree with you because I think it doesn't have to necessarily be it. Maybe it's 1 week you have like some stars on Collision and the next week they're actually on Dynamite. It doesn't have to be the same week to week. It's just mix and match it a little bit just so it's, because I think it helps your product overall because it makes things more exciting. It doesn't make things repetitive. It makes it so people don't get as stale as quickly. And it's just like, man, I watched Wednesday. I didn't see Ricky Starks, but oh, he's going to be on Collision. Well, I have to watch now because I want to see Ricky Starks. So there is definitely a balance there. And I like, we see what WWE does anyways. Like, Cody is pretty much on every show. He's just not on TV on every show. Cody comes out after SmackDown all the time, so the live crowd is happy. You want to do that, Tony Khan? Do it. Plus, you tape all this bullshit anyways. Like, it's so easy to do it. But like on-screen stuff, it's like you have the talent pool where you can separate it and make each show better and have more feuds, more storylines, more rivalries and stuff like that, and it makes everything better.
Now, I think I saw this on the closed caption. It said main event tonight is Rio versus Willow Nightingale. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
I would assume it would be Wardlow and Samoa Joe, but with that not main eventing, that must mean we have a little schmoz on our hands because WrestleMania, in my perfect world, Wardlow would win that world title tonight. We can move on from the Samoan snore and get my boy Wardlow the strap that he deserves, but I mean, if that's main eventing, that definitely ain't happening. And we're going to get some absolute bullshit, which will probably just set up another match. So
our boy TJ is on the ground, or I guess in the air, if you depending on where he's sitting. He just said to us that they piped in CEO chance. So I'll be curious. Like, you know,
I mean, it's stuff like it's that. Fine. Like if you want them to chant a certain thing, that's kind of what you have to do. Cause if not, they like, well, yeah, exactly. Because it's like with her, you could like, we're in Boston. Every time, other times she's been to Boston, we're chanting Sasha. So it's just trying to like it's hard to chant Mercedes or Monet. So they want you to chant CEO. She's in wrestling gear. So,
well, she's got some thigh high boots on. I don't think she's gonna wrestle.
Not wrestling in those, but
she's not Charlotte coming down the fucking ramp ready to fucking put a stiletto through someone's nose. But it's fine. It's fine. Our boy Danny says AEW draft would last 3 weeks, which he's
They have a much bigger roster than WWE, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So
I'm talking out of turn here because I'm talking to you and half paying attention to her. Obviously, I didn't see a lot of
substance
of what she said.
I see someone tweeted that it's a 1 year contract apparently. So we'll see.
Well, she's probably smart enough to see. Let's see if they can get their shit together.
Yeah, also like her whole idea, part of it, and like she finally kind of like, this is stuff I've been hinting at, but she finally said a lot of the things that people wanted to know last week in her interview is like, she did a lot, like she's so obviously so thankful for WWE, but she had a lot of dreams of just wrestling in general, because like her biggest thing is she wants to wrestle everyone. And to be able to do that, you have to be willing to go anywhere. And so we saw her start that with her New Japan journey and everything else. Like AEW is just part of this journey for her of just going around and doing and trying and experiencing everything she wants to experience. We know it's just like Cody. At the end of the day, her story finishes in WWE, but that doesn't mean the parts of the story in between aren't going to be fantastic. And this AEW journey, if it truly is only going to be a year, man, it'll probably be a really fun ride. And I don't think you have to worry about Tony getting sick of her if he knows he could only have a minimum of a year. So,
I mean, she probably wants to wrestle in Mexico. She probably wants to wrestle in other parts of the world. So I would say,
and when you work for AEW, you can do that too, which is a nice perk. So,
and I'm sure she would, you know, what's to say? I mean, she's still relatively young. I think she's in her early 30s or something.
But she started pretty young. So she's
She probably has more injuries than she needs, but you know, she's going to be just fine. Looks like the Samoan snore is talking right now. And so we're going
to that means WrestleMania. We get to the regular part of the program and we head to the shine because, maybe we'll talk more about AEW later. But we go to WWE and WrestleMania and always in the shine. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. But I want to start on Monday. And I'm going to start right off the top of the show because, look, Seth and Drew are headed towards match number 3. And normally we make fun of it. We have a t-shirt on tpublic.com/jobberknocker, solid Monday night rerun. But these two guys' chemistry is some of the best, like, on-screen chemistry of, like, the past year. They are so good together, and everything happening with the story has enhanced it. The fact that Drew's bitterness and angriness and using the bloodline to win his matches recently, or like Logan Paul helping him win, all that. But you combine that with the Seth thing is real of him being distracted. Like, he is so focused on Roman and The Rock with Cody, his eye truly isn't on the so-called ball, aka that title that's on his shoulder. And it just makes this storyline even more intriguing. Like, this is something where it's like, oh man, CM Punk got hurt. That sucks. We got to go to this feud that we've literally seen this match twice. And Seth has beaten him clean twice. Twice. And we're doing it again. But it's just like, it's so good because these guys' chemistry is off the charts.
I tend to agree with you. The one thing I thought was great was just the comparison to, you know, CM Punk and saying, like, you are him, essentially. Like, you're a hypocrite. I thought that was a nice little dig. They mentioned him a couple times, which does leave the door open, I think, for a special guest spot there. I don't know if they're going to have a referee or if he's, you know, doing commentary or whatever that match could be. But I feel like interjecting him in it might add a little bit more spice to it. But we'll see. The other thing, too, is I really just feel like I love that Drew's singular focus is one thing and that there's kind of like a backstory to it. And I love that aspect of it. But I also love the idea of, like you said, Rollins being preoccupied. And I just, like, you, we've talked about this. We've talked this way too much. But as I'm watching this, I just don't see Seth Rollins turning on Cody night of. I can see it, like you said, you know, when it transpires, you know, the day after maybe, or what, or when he loses it or something, but not like that just doesn't seem logical to me in terms of storytelling, because it's for the greater good, right? And if Seth Rollins is one thing, he is the guy that the poster boy for trying to do the greater good, at least.
And then right what now. Happens night two, like Seth Drew's night two. So you're not going to have Seth going to that match as like the biggest fucking heel in the company. Like, right. He would be if he turned on Cody. So.
Right. So I just feel like I'm more interested in looking at what happens between Rock and Roman than anything else, because I think like that's more important there. But the one thing I will say is, you know, they're very, it's weird. It's like the way that Drew portrays himself, he just deserves a title now. He deserved the title 3 months ago. Like he is not losing steam. He is not losing momentum. And we've seen Big Mo just kind of fall off on people sometimes, but not him. It's like he just keeps getting better. He keeps finding new and interesting ways to continue to be relevant, especially on social media. He just had something, I don't know if you watched it, he was doing a pre-game workout or whatever, and he was talking about Seth Rollins. Like, that's the shit that works. That's the shit that always works, using social media to your advantage. So I'm very excited for this. I looked at the rest of the card. There's a couple of things that don't intrigue me so far at WrestleMania, but the main events do.
Yeah, no, and I think they've done a good job, and we'll stick with the main events for now, because there was another promo on Raw and WrestleMania that you know that I absolutely loved. When Cody gets fucking emotional, man, I get fucking emotional, man. Like, that dude, like, there isn't too many wrestlers, and I mean, he might be, someday I'll look back after his career and probably say he was, but like, that make me invested as much as him. Like, it's something that, like, he has mastered as he has gotten older, matured, more experienced in his return to WWE, and why, like, his babyface run of his is probably my favorite, like, true white meat babyface run at all time, because normally those guys I fucking, like, that's not my cup of tea. I like the bad badasses, the bad boys, the bad girls. I like the heels, but with fucking Cody, man, I just adore him. And I want everything he says to happen in his speech, going through everyone. When he's getting emotional about talking about his mom and dad, I'm getting emotional about him talking about his mom and dad. It's like the dude makes me feel. He has this like awkward, weird chemistry with Michael Cole that is somehow endearing, even though Michael Cole in those situations, I think, always overdoes it. But I don't know. I just love this promo. It's once again, it's like Cody. It just, he's asked to go out there on every show and like pretty much forever to promote these feuds, and he fucking hits him out of the park, man.
The one thing I will say, I thought it was an A+ effort. I really do. But for the A++, it was weird to me, at least. And again, I know you're going to have an issue with this, but whatever. He like kind of cried and then like stopped himself from
it. Okay, Bully Ray.
No, but I tend to agree with Bully Ray, but here's the thing.
He's right. No, he's right. He should have gone all in.
Yeah. And I think the thing is he's the only baby face. And again, this is why he's going to be super successful no matter what he does, because he's just fucking amazing. But he's willing to be vulnerable. He's willing to do the work in terms of being like, I'm going to lose. I'm going to be, you know, please stand behind me even if I win or lose. I love that aspect of it, because I think when people do that, like you said, it's endearing, but you also, you get this feeling of like, no, I want to root for this person. I'm not being forced to be, you know, jam this guy down my throat every week. It's not Cena being fucking Superman. It's not fucking Roman Reigns being Superman. It's like, the one thing I would say is, and again, this isn't probably a fair comparison, but I'm going to throw it out here. I don't know what John Cena's kryptonite was. I don't know what Roman Reigns' kryptonite was, but I sure as hell know that Cody Rhodes' kryptonite, you know what I mean? Like I get that. And I think that's the missing piece for the other two.
It makes him more human than the other.
Right.
Two.
They weren't human. And they were literally superhuman people. Yeah. And he is not superhuman, even though he kind of is by
He's default. The superhero that can get hurt. He's not the superhero.
He's Batman.
He's Batman. He's a fucking, he's not as badass as Batman. He's more of like Captain America. And sure. Literally, like, it fits the gimmick, but like, it's just like, that's who he is. It's like, except for he doesn't have a shield. Like,
right.
You know, it just, his shield is his hard will. That fucking shoulder, man, that was his shield. Like,
right.
That was his emblem. So it's just like, no, I think that's a great way of like putting it. It's just like, because that's why a lot of the times the baby faces I root for are like the underdogs. It's like Cody's obviously not an underdog. The dude's won fucking pretty much every match he's been since he's been back, except for like three. It's Drew, it's Brock, and it's Roman. That's it. And they all had some fucking bullshit. So it's just like he's obviously like it's one of those things, but it's just like he's booked as a human. He treats himself as a human. Even like when he says he makes fun of himself, like you said, he's making fun of himself, saying the big words and all stuff, but that's who he is. Like, he has the self-awareness to know who he is and know he's like, yeah, I'm a fucking wrestling nerd. I know I'm a little weird sometimes. I know I'm a little over emotional as Cody being Cody, but he's like, that's just who I am. And I'm just thankful that you guys accept me for how I am after all these years. And that's what makes it cool. I don't know. Do you want to transition to SmackDown off of this?
I do, but I just want to say one thing really quickly about Cole. I thought it was odd that they were kind of pushing the issue with Seth Rollins a lot in that entire thing. It didn't feel like they were really focusing.
It's the journalist thing to do.
Oh, I know, but it was just weird to me. It was just like, I get what they're trying to do, but it just felt like it wasn't the place for that. I don't know. It was bizarre to me. But anyway, let's translate over to your SmackDown if you want to.
Yeah, and SmackDown, obviously, that we had the standoff between the Bloodline and Cody and Seth, where they did their normally trading insults. And The Rock, pretty much, he called Cody a mistake. He had some facts wrong, but he called Cody a mistake, and he insulted all this and that. And WrestleMania, you got your moment. I told you to be patient. I told you it was coming. And we got the slap heard around the world, baby. And I hope it was worth it for you. It was worth it for me. I got a little, you know, going on there. But I watched this and I'm like, man, I'm glad that The Rock is showing up to work every week, because like, I could watch this every week. As corny as The Rock is, when you have people face to face like that, it's just like, it makes it so much better. This is what WrestleMania is about. Intergenerational stars trading insults, selling you on a big fight without actually having a fight. All these two guys are done to slap each other, and I want to see The Rock and Cody fucking beat the shit out of each other more than anyone else on any of the shows who have fucking set it up with so much more stuff. It's simple, it works. Even the parts that I dislike about it, I overlook it a little bit because I'm excited for it, and I just the corniness and like the old school nature of just the trading insults. That's the nice thing about this Rock thing. It feels like he's like from a fucking time machine and like he hasn't adjusted to the way wrestling is now, but
it's Austin Powers.
Yeah, but exactly. But in this instant, it kind of works. And Roman is like the secondary guy. It's crazy, but it's like we had the Cody Roman buildup last year. So to make this year even better, it's like we have that little dash of Rock, and Roman did get his cross-dresser line in there on Seth. And you know, I didn't say it for Monday, but Cody said we're in the last inning, and I'm glad. This is one thing I wanted to point out in WrestleMania. He didn't say the ninth inning. He said the last inning. Thank fucking God, because if you say the ninth inning, you know baseball. I know baseball. That shit can go forever. So by saying the last inning, thank you, God.
You know, and I think the other thing that was very telling in when that, and there are a couple of things here I'll just rattle off very quickly. I love the acknowledge us. I thought that was wonderful. I thought The Rock's entrance was fucking dope. I loved it. Really, I love the fucking love that whole little thing. I love that they came to the crowd. That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There were so many little things here. And then the you know, Mr. Midlife Crisis. What a good, that was so much better than fucking diarrhea.
Did he get diarrhea chance though?
He did, which made you feel like, okay, like the crowd's eating it up. And then you get to a point here where this is the nice little wrinkle here where it's like, I'm the boss. And if you don't win this one, you ain't getting another shot ever. And I was just like, okay, well, fucking back the Brinks truck up, because this fucking thing is going to be fucking money, because, you know, he's there. The one critique I would say And this is the part that I fucking hate about The Rock. And it's not anybody else's problem except The Rock, is it took too long. It took to a point where, here's the thing. It was like slap, fucking get out. And the thing was, and for me, I was so excited to see the slap that it was like slap and fade to black, which I understand from a production standpoint, a storytelling standpoint. But I felt like if you had just milked it for just 10 more seconds, maybe.
Yeah, it had a little bit more of the emotion of The Rock. Yeah. Being like even oh, if, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't.
Right. Or have like Roman intervene or because Roman kind of chuckled, like, you know what I mean? Like, good fucking luck with that. And whatever, it is what it is. But I just felt like I was so angry afterwards because I watched it again and I'm like, it was like da-da-da-da-da-da. And I felt like it almost took away, like we talked about this, from it being the slap being like that checkpoint, that monumental moment to kind of shift the gears into not being a nice person anymore. And then they just kind of like faded out. And like, you want to talk about AEW not timing it correctly. It's a gamble when you put The Rock on last. So I just, it's hard for me because I feel like even though it was such a great storytelling standpoint, they could have done better, in my opinion, with that 10 to 15 seconds. That's all.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And that's why I led with The Raw instead of SmackDown, because there are a bunch of like little things that I did have issues with. But I think overall it was a successful week for their setting up their two main events. I think we're excited for it. And we can probably move on to some other stuff, WrestleMania. Yes. And I want to talk about a match on Monday Night Raw. Do you know which one I want to talk about?
I'm going to guess the Gauntlet.
No. Ooh, singles good. Match.
Okay, go for it.
Which match is it? I want you to guess.
From singles match?
Yeah.
Are you going to put Becky and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on, baby. We had a banger on Monday Night Raw with the ladies. We had a little bit of some Irish fighting and some little bit of Liv Morgan jersey. Yo, 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 old school fucking fighting. You know, it just... I loved seeing this match because we've seen it before. But it's like, when they fought before, it was really good. I believe it was during Becky's run. I think she defended against Liv one time. And it was one of Liv's coming out like party matches where we were like, whoa. She has gotten way better. But to me, I just love seeing this. And I'm like, man, like you look at the journey of like both these women. And I just look at it. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Liv. I look at it from her perspective. It's how much like we've just been able to see her grow over the years. And you have an appreciation for that. But I really like this match. I thought it was a banger. It felt it. Liv, this character of like this jaded character that just like is so hungry for Rhea. Like it just it's translating in the ring. And I think the style meshed well with Becky. And I love what we got after the match. Rhea came out and we had the Liv stare down with Rhea and Liv being like, I'm gonna take it all from you. I'm not done. And Rhea just kind of being like, and then moving on to her first victim. But and then Rhea being like, Becky, like you're not even focused on me. And then sure enough, later we get a backstage segment where Nia takes out Liv and Becky, and Becky has another match scheduled for next week. So again, women's feuds we've shed on the last couple of years leading to WrestleMania. This one so far I'm enjoying because it feels fresh every week. And a lot of that credit has to go to Becky because she's putting in a lot of work right now leading up to WrestleMania, putting a lot of paint on that body. And I'm appreciating it though, because it feels fresh and nice.
Got it. And so like, it's really hard to watch sometimes because you don't know what you're going to get with some of these matches. And the one thing I really enjoyed about this was that there was no fucking leg drop. There was no fucking bad stuff in this match. Here's the thing. You didn't miss it. And Danny made the joke too, was that the fucking manhandle slam was at least, you know, serviceable. It was a good one this time. Right. And then there's one thing that made me chuckle so fucking hard though. Like this was a fucking certified amazing match. They did a great job head to toe. Wonderful. There's one point in this matchup though, that made me like laugh hysterically where she does the oblivion. Right. And Becky lands and just like you'd think inertia, you'd roll forward into the middle of the ring. Becky somehow just took it and then rolled to the outside, like underneath the ring. And I just went, what? Like it was just so fucking weird, but it added to the match in a weird way too. Like I was just like, I was into it the whole fucking time. The one thing I get nervous about, and I appreciated the line in the promo with Becky and Rhea was like, you know, if it's me against the world, so be it. And then the whole thing about like when people believe in me, I do good. When people hate, you know, or people are against me, I do great. And I was like, okay, what a good line that is. I love it. But then this whole, you know, Liv getting this thing and then Nia attacking this thing and then next week is the last woman standing match. I'm looking at a perspective of like, do you think that it's going to be a fatal four way? Do you think they're going to pull the trigger on that? Or do you feel like something else is going to transpire here where the women are just going to get involved and this is just the beginning?
No, I think that we're going to slowly lead into like this being the singles, but I think it just kind of keeps Liv and Nia fresh and maybe we'll get like a Liv and Nia match, like WrestleMania week, or maybe like, I don't know how they're handling the pre-show and stuff, but I think that's kind of where they'll spin that, and they kind of spin that as a number one contenders match almost. But I think having them involved going in, I think it definitely leaves the thought that maybe they would, but I mean, Becky earned that one-on-one match, man. It's like, obviously we've seen that stuff shoot in before, but I don't think they have to do it here, especially because from my perspective, I fully expect Rhea to win. So I don't want to be a fatal four. I want her to beat Becky clean, so Rhea can be on to the next.
Okay. That's fair. I'm curious about it because it, you know, they're making us all think one thing, you know, and that's fatal four way, which would be kind of weird considering the fact that somebody had to win the elimination chamber to get into it. So I don't know.
They got enough multi-man matches at Mania, which we'll touch on in a little bit.
Can't wait. Hashtag can't wait. Right. As we say. So
yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about that's really, really improved or exciting?
So I'm really enjoying the Logan Paul, Randy Orton stuff on SmackDown and KO. This is the one where it feels like, judging by how this went, obviously, like, it, you know, we can talk about the sponsorship and stuff in a minute, but and Orton, RKO and KSI, which I fucking love. Every time that guy's on TV, please just like attack him. It's hilarious. But that it feels like this is where this might be a triple threat now. And I'm kind of for it, like Logan Paul against his two adversaries. But the reason why I'm really for it is because I kind of love this Orton KO dynamic where it's like they respect each other. But both of these guys we've seen are always the first to be like, nope, fuck you. So I just think that element of it, like being like, as much as an Orton Logan Paul one-on-one match is cool, I just think having it be a triple threat, it's like then you can do kabooms with KO and Logan Paul. And Randy doesn't have to kill his back, doesn't have to work as hard in this match, but you still get all the high points. And that way, if they're going to have Logan retain, he can just pin KO, and Randy doesn't have to eat a pen at Mania either. So I think there's a lot more avenues, but I just think I was really enjoying this lead up, and I'm like, he really never did resolve things with KO. So it doesn't make sense to just ignore him and have the singles match, but having Randy and KO kind of working together to take out Waller and Theory and stuff, I'm like, I kind of want this to be a triple threat. So I'm enjoying this segment, and I hope that's kind of the direction they go.
I mean, you sold me on it for sure. I was not looking forward to it, but I mean, KO needs to be on the fucking card somewhere. And it just seems like all these spots are getting taken up very quickly, might I add.
Yeah.
But the one thing I did want to talk about was, let's talk about the sponsorship, I guess. Let's get into it. Okay. So we made the joke about, you know, painting canvases, right? And I think our boy Birdsky made a joke about it. So we'll talk about it here, but I'm just going to lay out with this. You made a comment a long time ago about when TKO took over that this was inevitable. This was going to happen. Yeah. This is just going to be the first of many. You know, if you listen to Logan Paul, they put a clip on, you know, social talking about like, we thought it was a good idea and also a great idea for people to hate me even more. So it just goes hand in hand. Everybody gets something. But the other thing too that I thought was really interesting, at least for me, was a perspective of like, I just hate the fucking logo. I think the logo looks like shit. I would just want
it's the same word in UFC too. That's the crazy thing is you got the deal worked out when Dana was feuding with his brother online. Yeah. Logan worked out the deal to get the sponsorship in. So I see it every week in the octagon. Now I'm going to see it every week in the ring. I don't hate it. It doesn't bother me that much. And now it's funny because we have AEW on. We just watched Samoa Joe retain against Wardlow and they don't have anything in the middle of the ring. I'm like, huh, it looks kind of naked. So it's like, even after like one or two episodes, I've already gotten used to having the fucking stupid little bottle in the ring where now I'm like, you know what? It's like, we've seen it. Like even like the NBA jerseys, like a couple years ago, they got the fucking things. It's like soccer's always been like that. It's the direction sports going, man. It's an extra way to make money. It's an extra way to, you know, try to like do something different than just commercials. So is it the greatest thing in the world? And like wrestling purists are going to look at it. And I know I figured it wouldn't be your favorite thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Just knowing you. But it just, to me, it's just like you said, it's like, we knew this was coming and it didn't bother me. I think it's kind of cool. I mean, a big week for Logan Paul. Not only does he get that, but SummerSlam's going to be in Cleveland, like he announced on his podcast. So it's one of those things. It's like Logan Paul's relationship with WWE is really strong, and it's smart on both sides. So, I mean, I think this is just a win-win. And like I said, I'm watching AEW right now, and I'm like, why don't they have anything in the middle of the ring?
Well, they did. They had DraftKings, and they didn't.
Yeah, it's time to figure it out, Tony. Get something else back. Come on,
buddy. So I will say this much. It doesn't
put a JK logo in the middle of that ring. Maybe we'll talk about AEW every week.
Exactly. With a big smile on my face and a check that doesn't cash. So, look, I will say this much. I don't actually have a problem with the logos being on there. The one thing, and I haven't watched a lot of UFC, so I bow to you and ask you this question. does the UFC have like the UFC logo in the middle of the octagon? And then no, everything
it's the
else.
Prime. It's the Prime bottle.
The Prime bottle is in the middle of the octagon.
Yeah, last year they worked out the deal. Yeah, and there's like a million things all around the edges and everything fucking people wear. Like it's all, it's just kind of like golf where like they're walking fucking billboards.
Okay. Okay. So my question, not my question, this would be my thought, right? So when I look at that, I would rather the middle of the ring be the logo of the PLE, and then in the corners and on the sides and the turnbuckles, I'm fine with it being fucking everywhere. But I think that lends itself more to like, it's not as kind of in your face.
Well, so I mean, if you're the advertiser, where do you want it? You want it at the place that we're constantly seeing, you know?
No, I understand.
Like I want Cody's blood on my Prime bottle. Like, you know, that's what they're saying. If they're in AEW, it's like, I want Moxie's blood everywhere on my logo, you know?
Sure.
Because then they zoom in, it's like, oh, look at Prime Energy, make it bleed.
I'm all about business. I'm all about making money. I love that. But the thing is like, I just feel like in every corner of it, it would be, I think, better, at least shot wise. Cause then you know what I mean? Cause I feel like it's only going to be there in the middle. You might miss it, but we'll see. We'll see how they shoot around it. If they shoot, you know, specifically above to get the fucking sponsorship for certain things during people's, you know, entrances and stuff. It is interesting that he will be the sponsor going to every PLE, which means that they knew that him being the sponsor on a Monday Night Raw and a SmackDown was too much, which I applaud them for, because PLEs are important. There's 12 to 14 of them every year. It makes perfect sense. He's money. They make money. Everybody wins. So I don't have a problem with it. I'd just be curious to see what else changes. Will the turnbuckles change? Will the fucking, you know, aprons change? All that stuff. So
any place you can fit logos, I think there's a chance that stuff's going to start popping up. So
fuck yeah. On. Okay, fair enough. All right, anything else you want that's positive, or you want to move into heat?
I got nothing that really is like super positive, so we can go to the heat.
Get him off my TV, get him off my TV, get him off my TV. I will say this much.
Ian Buck just tripped, sorry.
Oh, did he? I didn't. Which one? Was it Nick or Matt?
Whoever's in the white.
It's probably Nick.
Yeah, he got a little stumble.
Yeah, it's okay. I thought the gauntlet was really well done, but here's the thing.
Yep.
Chad Gable should have won.
Exactly. So this is why it wasn't in my shine again, because I came on this week and I said, I'm the target audience. I love gauntlets. And obviously I worked late last night, so I didn't really get the last two nights. I mean, Monday was really late, so I didn't get to it till like Raw till I don't even know, sometime later. So I knew what had happened, but I watched the gauntlet and I loved it. I loved all the matches. I thought they were super fun. I love the idea of that, like, you're fighting someone and there's a chance that someone has to win like five in a row, or it's like, oh, you have this thing. And like, you have the Bronson Reed spot where he beats him up and suddenly he's injured for the next person to take advantage. Like all those like very simple things that a gauntlet offers, I love. But yeah, I'm watching this and I literally read you what I wrote in my notes. I'm like, they had the first package of the night they showed was the Chad Gable one. And I wanted to fucking jump through my TV. I was so fucking fired up. I felt it. Felt it, man. It was Cody-esque, but it was like, I want to fucking get up there and be like, yeah, Chad, go, go, go. And then I watched the gauntlet, and he loses, and I was just, I felt dejected. And Sami fucking Zayn won it, another person that we love, but that package got me so sold on Gable, even more than I already was. Then he lost. I was bummed out, too.
I don't think Sami Zayn needs it. He's been the Intercontinental Champion like two or three times already. Like, they want to talk about it being historical.
Well, I hope he takes an L.
I mean, we're hoping he takes an L, I think. The only moment left for Sami Zayn is to fucking win the big one. Like, that's 100%. It. You know what I mean? Like, to me, I know Gunther's a big deal, and he is a big one, but this IC title is not the big one for Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn needs that championship. He needs that world heavyweight title or the WWE championship. And love you too, Robin. Good night. And so my daughter, everybody, she's awesome. So she took a nap. There's no way she's going to sleep. Probably.
I was going to say, she sounds very awake. So yeah, good luck to you.
My poor wife is like a goalie right now.
You want to go a little longer tonight?
No, I know. Right. No. So I almost didn't start on time because I knew that was going to be an issue, but here we are. So I'm thinking about it from a perspective of like, it's the big one for Chad Gable, right? In terms of where he is in stature.
100%.
And that to me is like, when he said the thing about his daughter, it's like, I have a daughter, clearly. And you know, like that plays on my heartstrings. I want my daughter to know that I'm a good person. Now, clearly you all think I'm an idiot. That's fine. But like to my kid, I want my kid to look at me and be like, I'm proud of my dad. And so like, it's hard when you see that Gable like has done all these amazing things. And for the last like 3 years since, you know, not being Shorty G, he's been on a fucking roll. And so it just seems like, why wouldn't you give the guy a shot? Why wouldn't it's like they didn't have anything for Sami Zayn. So Sami Zayn just it fell in his lap. And it's just like we have to put him on the fucking card. And I don't love that. I don't love that at all. I really don't.
I the way I'm gonna choose to approach it is you hit a nail on the head. Like Sami Zayn has to be on the card. You want Gunther was in all likelihood supposed to have a huge match against Brock Lesnar. So what's another upper tier match that feels special for Gunther? Because my expectation is that he will retain against Sami Zayn. Because like you said, and like we've said every week on this program, it's the big one is the World Heavyweight Championship for Sami or the WWE Championship, not this fucking mid-card title he's had before. It's like, whatever, it's great. You can get it again, but it's like, it's not, I don't think he's the one that should end Gunther's reign because it doesn't do as much emotionally, I think, for all of us. So I hope it's a nice retain for Gunther at Mania. It'll probably be a banner of a fucking match, but then we move on and hopefully it'll still be Chad Gable down the line.
I hope you're right, because when we're watching Mania, I'm going to be thinking about if Sami Zayn wins, I'm going to go, this just doesn't feel right. Let's let Gable get the big one. That's all I'm saying. But it is what it is. Moving on to other things, I'm going to go over to SmackDown that I thought was like, what the fuck are we doing here? It's fine. Let me just say this. But I don't like the tag title thing. It leaked over into Monday, but it was just like, okay, because you know Judgment Day did whatever they could on Monday for it, but it was just like, you know, they're doing this random thing with the fucking catch team or whatever, and that's fine. They're doing their video game nonsense because that seems like a generic thing to do product placement wise. But I was looking at it from a perspective, then you go to Monday and they do this whole like six-pack challenge thing, and like, yes, we all love a good kaboom. You know, they're probably all not going to get much time. They're going to get maybe 15 minutes of fucking car crashes and nonsense, and that's, please God, nobody get hurt, you know. But you're looking at it from a perspective of like, I'll be honest with you. It's going to be Gargano and Ciampa. It's Miz and Truth.
I don't think it is. Gargano and Ciampa are facing the Creeds.
You think the Creeds are going to win?
I think it'd be a mistake to leave them off Mania. Like, this is the type of show you want to expose their athleticism because they're the future of your tag division. And the little taste people have got them on Raw, like they say they're fans. You put it on the main Mania stage in a fucking ladder match, you get fucking Julius Creed hulking up and Brutus Bomb, Brutusing off the fucking ladders. Like, they're going to become everyone's favorite tag team. So, but like I said, I think in our thread is there could be a last chance challenge or something. I know there's three Raw matches and we expect two SmackDown matches. I don't know if they've announced them yet. I haven't seen them, but I thought that first round matchup was interesting because I was like, both these teams probably should be in it.
I don't know. It's like SmackDown doesn't have the horses except for, you know, Profits and AOP, but I think that's going to be a six man.
Well, they got you Dunn and Bate. They got LWO. They got Umberto and Garza. They probably have another tag team that I'm forgetting and I apologize. Oh, the Good Brothers, but they're in NXT.
All I'm hearing are fucking chooches. That's all I'm hearing.
Well, Dunn and Bate are going to be in that. 100%.
Yeah, but they're not going to, like, here's the thing.
And AOP and Street Profits might be involved in the fucking, our next piece of heat, which is our Karrion Kross and Bobby Lashley ever going to actually fight or we can get schmozzes every week.
No, I know. And it's just, to me, I would rather see a Philly Street fight with the six. I don't want to see.
I honestly think that's what we'll get. So I don't think those two teams will be a part of this match.
It makes perfect sense to me. But like, who knows, right? Like, if it makes sense to me, I'm probably wrong, right? Like, that's the way I look at it.
Crux of your argument is the reason why we're disappointed. Because again, when this match comes, I'm going to be super boned up for it. It's going to be fucking chaos. But I kind of like ruined it for everyone last week because my hope was for the fucking splitting of the tag titles. So you get an announcement. That's what we expect, and we don't get it. Now, granted, obviously, they could still easily do it. It might be something they save for the draft, like they did with the world title last year, where it was a couple weeks after Mania last year or something like that. And that they could do it then, but I don't know. It would have been kind of cool. I think we all just want it. Like, we're ready for it and we didn't get it. It's like, no matter what they announce, we're going to be disappointed.
I think the other thing I want to bring up too is it's not my original thought, but I said to this person, I was going to use it. I'm fairly certain it was Coach that said this on a tweet, but he goes, what if the finish was that one team grabbed the red, one grabbed the blue, so two teams won, and then there's like a fucking win.
Fucking hate.
And
that.
I was like, what a.
Then you don't have a real winner. That is such a cop. No, that'd be horrible. That's why, coach. That's why you're not in wrestling anymore, buddy. Get the fuck out with that idea.
Yikes!
What a shitty idea.
You know
what? Oh my god, I would fucking hate that.
I'll say this much: usually a JC burn hurts, and then when you see JC with a fucking headband and fucking no sleeves, that's like a third degree burn. Just saying, and his Sasha shirt on. So too much fucking shit. Anyway, we did mention you sprinkled in some AOP. You want to talk about
that with AOP? Yeah, you know me.
I knew the minute I saw that graphic, I went, they're not fucking doing shit. They're not. Yeah. There's just no. I am so used to the idea of them blue balling people on something, and then they think, oh, here's the payoff. Everybody's gonna love it, and then nothing. You know, nothing's gonna work. So. It's just tough. It's really, really tough.
They just need to announce this match for Mania already and stop fucking with the teases, because it's just going to, like you said, make people lose interest.
I think a Philly Street Fight makes perfect sense, but like, it's tough. It's really, really
this
tough.
I think this would be the one to do it, because it's a way to fucking do a... Like, what was your favorite six-man tag match ever at Mania? The Shield versus fucking Road Dogg.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, 30 yeah,
second
yeah.
match. It was just like power bombs through tables for like a minute and a half. And like, yes, we know they got cut for time, but I was like, that match was fucking awesome, because it made the Shield look great, and it just fucking, it was just action and done. Mm-hmm. It was a nice little palate cleanse from the rest of the long ass night. So just give me a fucking, if you're into a six man tag, make it, has to be a fucking gimmicky bullshit, so I can watch the Authors of Pain and Street Profits murder each other.
Anything else you want to talk about that's heady? I'm curious.
Yeah, I don't got much else that I really cared about. So anything you want to talk about, you can talk about.
I'll go through really quickly some, as I hear my daughter, I'm sure you can hear her whining in the background, but it is what it is. I'm sorry for the listeners out there. It's tough being a dad.
We're used to you whining, so yeah, your daughter's a lot cuter whiner than you
are. Yeah, of course. It's throwing me off though, like trying to concentrate.
I know, it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. She's like, it's like trying to shoot a foul shot, and you just have like somebody in the crowd doing the fucking dance and shit. Like, that's what it is.
You're easily rattled, so it's
easy. Thanks. Speaking of easily rattled, Dragon Lee wins in a fucking random ass match nobody cared about. We also
hold on. Who'd he wrestle this week? I don't even remember this.
Angel.
That's right. And then one of those things I just didn't even acknowledge. You know, I was probably doing something else and done.
Tiffy Time wins in a jobber alert against Meechin, which, again, who gives a shit right there? We have this random thing with Bianca and Naomi backstage not trusting Bayley after that sit-down interview, which I thought was pretty decent, but it's just...
It's true. It's Bayley has been a dick to the locker room for like 3 years. It's kind of what we saw with Jey Uso, you know?
Right. And it's just weird how it's like similar, right? Like we're touching too many things that are similar. I'm not a huge fan of that. Moving on to Raw very quickly. Candace, we didn't talk about this.
Yeah, I didn't like this.
Candace and Maxine, which we knew Maxine was getting some heat online based on people telling her she sucks and all that stuff, but like, she's never wrestled in her life. Let's give the
woman. It was like one person at a live event. Yeah, shower dodging fucking virgin, as William Regal would say. A fucking shower dodger. That's what he called CJ Parker. It was great, but It's like I'm obviously Team Maxine. I was very surprised they took this on screen, and it also like randomly coming from Candace, who like we had like the little things of her being frustrated backstage, but to do it in the middle of a match and not in a promo was even more awkward, because the crowd couldn't hear it because it wasn't on a microphone. So the crowd doesn't know what's going on. We hear it on TV. I don't know. I didn't love how they executed this. I wish if they were gonna do this, they handled it better. And it's also just like, it's tough because I watch AEW every week and Christian's so fucking good at that type of gimmick. It's going to be really hard to kind of duplicate it and for it to even come in the ballpark. So that's an unfair expectation to put on Candace too, especially for like the D-list storyline for the women on Raw. I don't know. I didn't love this week, and they're going to have to do a lot of work to make me enjoy this.
I will say this much though. It's interesting that they went that way, but like you said, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to even remotely care about it. So that's it. Moving on to other things. They're upset about the fucking ladder match. We saw that. We talked about Cody and Judgment Day, R-Truth, all that nonsense. So I think we're good. I think we can move on. But let's get to our hopes, shall we?
Glorious. You're my only hope. I'll go first, WrestleMania, because I have a quick one. I mean, we just mentioned it there, the tag titles. Because obviously there's a bunch of options that go with this. But I think we both kind of agree that the Judgment Day it's the time for them to lose them is at WrestleMania, because we feel like that Priest cash in, if it isn't happening night two, it's happening the month, the Raw after Mania. It's just like, it's time. If it, if not now, when, baby? It's got to be, it's got to wrap up the Seth Drew thing with a little bit of Priest on top, just to like, so we can fucking move on with our lives. And to do that, he probably needs to lose the tag titles. And so I was looking at all the match graphics, thinking of teams, and I was like, you know what? It's one of those things. It's like, we see it sometimes at WrestleMania, a team wins and they lose it really quickly. But I kind of want the Miz and Awesome Truth to get that pop at Mania, because it's a fun lightning in a bottle thing. I think it brings Truth's arc with the Judgment Day full circle with him, especially if he's the one that pins Priest after stuff, or whatever. It's, I guess it's a ladder match, right? But we know, is it a ladder match? I'm so confused. Yeah, so it's a ladder match. Yeah. So R-Truth, and we know R-Truth's fear of ladders, so him doing it. But it's just like that. Like, we've seen it before. Like, the Miz has been on like the other end of like those moments, like when Zack Ryder won it in the ladder match against him. But he also had the one where he won it from Wade Barrett and then immediately lost it, like, I did the next night, Friday on SmackDown. But they're like, they give the babyface pops at Mania. And this is kind of where I'm looking for the babyface pop. And if you want to do like a little short little run with Awesome Truth as the tag champs, I am cool with that, because we know the Miz and R-Truth can fucking carry TV very easily. But I just think this is the spot where I'm looking for the fun pop. It's an easy way to transition from the Judgment Day. And then maybe from there, it's easier to split the tag titles with them doing it or whatever, or then get it on a team like Imperium or something, which I think would be badass. So that's my hope. Short and simple. Awesome Truth. New tag champs at WrestleMania. Hashtag JC knows. Hashtag JC hope come true. Hashtag JC's about to cost, so he's going to go on mute while you do your...
All right, there he goes. He mutes, folks. That was well timed. We don't have a cough button here on the Jobber Knocker, just the mute button. So for me, here's my hope. I'm looking at the background of AEW. I heard, you know, someone say, oh, it's AEW Dynasty is their new pay-per-view coming up, which, if you've listened very closely, the word Dynasty has been thrown out with swerve a lot in the last 6 months. So here's my hope. Here's what I want the entire card to shape up like. Obviously, it feels like we're going to get Willow getting fucking needled by fucking Mercedes. That's a whole thing. That's going to be a one and done. We're going to have Ospreay. Ospreay needs to beat Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, because that's going to be a fucking huge fucking raging wrestle boner. But the other thing that I want here is that it's time for Swerve. It's time for Swerve to win this thing. Dynasty is a name that he came up with. It's his time, because with Okada, with the other people like Kenny Omega, all that other stuff, there's not going to be a lot of time for Swerve to get in there and do his thing. And also, here's an added thing. If you look closely last week to their tag team title package that they had, they went out of their way to put Hangman and Kenny Omega. They showed them as a tag team, which I think is going to happen, and they're going to be reviving that tag team against the Young Bucks in the final this time around. Maybe not a Dynasty, but I feel like it's coming soon. You're not happy with that comment?
They have so many fucking tag teams in WrestleMania. They have so many fucking tag teams. It just... Same old shit, man. Same old shit.
I mean, I'm looking at this from a perspective, and I'm sure you can rattle it off, but I don't see a lot of tag teams that impress me at this point on AEW TV. I'm sorry.
I'm just not going to acknowledge that with a response. That is disgusting. But I will say, seeing Samoa Joe choke out Wardlow tonight, that paves the way for a Swerve rematch and a Swerve victory at Dynasty, so I think you're on point here.
Thank you. Was that so hard?
Yeah, because I can't believe you're such a fucking moron.
Hurts. That hurts. Yeah. My daughter is crying because of you. Hope you know that.
Yeah, that's not the reason.
It's because she took a 3-hour nap today.
I was going to say, she probably took a nap and maybe found some sugar or something to munch on.
She's screwed. I'm going to have to go put her to bed after the podcast. It's going to be fucking wonderful. 9 o'clock and the kid isn't fucking going to bed. My son can sleep through anything. God bless him. So I guess it's your turn for your hope there, bud. No, is it our comeback?
I'm sorry. My hope. We can go, don't call it a comeback, and that's the mini run Wednesday. So I can talk about NXT and my comeback. You know what? I wanted to give it to someone because it's something we really haven't got to talk about, but I think there's a good discussion here on several fronts. And I'm giving my comeback this week to one Roxanne Perez. We've obviously seen her with a little bit more of an edge in recent months because she never really lost her title. I had to give it away, blah, blah, blah. When she won the tag titles, they got thrown in the trash by Cora Jade, so she never really got something there. So she was on a run of luck. She came back. She had to earn a rematch, and then it gets kind of screwed up by my girl Lola Vice. I think she called her a Cuban something. I fucking laughed. It's just something that they've been kind of leading towards. And last week, obviously, she went full heel when she just beat up Lyra. And that got me really excited because we had Roxanne Lyra was pretty good. It got better when Lola was involved, but it's like, that's going to be the stand and deliver match, obviously, for the title. So I think it's big for both of them. But I was kind of looking at this and I was like, you know what? This Roxanne run they're doing is kind of a carbon copy of what they did with Braun Breaker. And that kind of excites me because we got to the point with Braun as the babyface champ where it's just like, okay, he's done all he's done in NXT, call him up. But then he turned heel and they were able to get another year out of it and like let Braun kind of continue to develop the character skills necessary so he's more ready for the main roster now than he was a year ago. And we've seen his work with the Wolf Dogs. Like, it's been a lot of fun. He's gotten better in the ring. He's put on absolute bangers. We know with Roxanne, there's never any issues between the ropes. She could have got called up when they signed her at 19. She would have wrestled circles around 99% of the fucking main roster. That's how fucking gifted she is. That's why she's called the prodigy. But when you get someone this young, it's especially in WWE, it's like you really got to put them through the ringer character-wise or else they're going to get eaten alive. Especially Roxanne, she's smaller. She has more of that high-pitched girly voice. So it's like, I was kind of looking, I'm like, you know what? Because I was one of those things, like, I'm like, I feel like she hasn't done a lot, much like she said in her promo in NXT. But it's like, I like that they're turning her heel now because they're going to let her, if she makes some mistakes, make them now so she's more ready for the next level when she gets there. Even if she does get called up as a babyface in a couple months, 6 months, or a year, it's like at least now she has that entire spectrum of character development. So when you get up to the main roster, you're more malleable to the types of things you're going to be asked to do. Because if she's just going to be like a Ricochet, then yeah, you'll have some banger matches, you'll win some mid-card titles, blah, blah, blah. But Roxanne's someone who could potentially be the face of the women's division for a very long time in a few years because she's that fucking talented. So I think this is kind of a necessary step. I thought her promo on NXT was very good. I think she's improving every week in terms of character. It's becoming more believable for me because it's so hard to look at her like this young girl who's just like, oh, smiley and happy, has, like we mentioned, like the higher pitched voice. It's hard to take her seriously sometimes, but I think she started to earn that from me in recent months, and I thought she hit the nail on the head in her first heel promo last night. So Roxanne Perez, you're getting my comeback this week.
I couldn't agree more. The other thing I wanted to give my comeback to was the entire NXT show.
What?
Yeah, because, you know, JC and other people have beaten that drum saying NXT is
best weekly wrestling show.
There you go.
On TV.
But here are three things that I was just like, what the fuck am I watching? And I love it. First was the fucking the low women's low blow because it gets you talking.
That was fucking awesome. Ariana's face. Oh.
I can't even do the cross eye because I'm worried it won't come back.
Also, like, for you fucking virgin shower dodgers on the internet, like, it fucking hurts. I know you've never heard of or seen a vagina, but it can cause pain if someone kicks you there really hard. It's not just male genitalia. Just because there's more innards doesn't mean it doesn't fucking hurt, buddy. You want someone to cunt punt you in the ass? I bet you that'll hurt too. So, you know, it's one of those things. Like, come on, let's fucking grow up a little bit here and maybe read a book.
I just love the fucking overselling acting of like the cross-eyed and like I was just like, she's just like her dad. She's so fucking good. And then like Gigi, I think we've always talked about this. I was always a Gigi person, but the longer I watched her, Guthrie was right. JC was the better of the two.
Yeah.
And like, she needs this makeover to do something. Otherwise, like, they're going to cut her because what else are you going
to
do without Mandy?
She just needs to be a badass. Like, yeah. She can't. Because she's not good at a lot of other stuff. But if, like, you make her crazy, it's worked for Shotzi. Because let's be real. Like, I like Shotzi, but she's not very good in the ring. But it's like, she works because she's just fucking crazy and does crazy shit. Gigi's got to go that path.
Moving on to my second point of why NXT is fucking awesome was Tony D's fucking promo with the fucking, the whole thing. Tony D at the restaurant being, I just watching Dragunov do that whole thing. And I was watching this, and as I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, it's clearly a three-camera shoot, whatever. It works. But I was sitting there, and I'm like, just because this is NXT, we've talked about characters. There's characters everywhere. But when they fucking put him in the trunk, and they let him get out of the fucking bridge, and they're talking, and he just basically said he basically killed a bunch of people. Like,
yeah. He's like, I took a lot of people to this bridge. I've come back, but they haven't. I was like, yes.
And I love that. It's almost like it's like the void, right? They just throw him into a fucking like giant black hole. But it's so funny. And then like as I'm watching this, I went like, I know Tony's really good. So it's not like anything I'm worried about when it comes to Tony. But I was kind of concerned about Dragunov and some of these things. And I was watching this and I'm like, holy shit, he's pretty fucking convincing and good too. And I was just like, he's not a big dude, but he's an insane human being.
Psycho.
And I love it. Like, I was just like, what the fuck, right? And then finally, this was a fucking, what the hell am I watching? But it made me laugh because you're going to laugh that I actually enjoyed this. But the Trick Williams Lash Legend spot. I was just like.
They're a real,
like,
life couple. So.
No, I know. It was just like, look at this fucking Casanova. No pun intended, but pun intended. Like, doing this fucking thing. And then he was like, oh, by the way, I'm going to fucking beat up Metaphor. And then, like, the exclusives afterwards where she was, like, trying to calm herself down. And then yeah. They had to, like, remind her and shit. I was just like, as much as I'm not a Lash Legend fan in terms of ring work, I was like, there's no way you can deny that this was fucking.
Just her, she's a very good character. That's yeah. Why with the Metaphor thing, like, it just, it works because they're so fucking annoying. Like, her and Noam together, it just, she's everything we wish Alicia Fox could have been.
Yeah, that's fair. Very fair. So I just thought NXT across, I mean, there are other things too I did enjoy the, you know, that I saw, but those three really stood out to me as like, look at this character development going on here.
You know, and who then, else wrestled on NXT WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
Obafemi, and what I say about him? He's a goddamn unit. So fucking big. And he just beats people up. I fucking love him.
Can we just, we just need a shirt that just like screams like a just big block. He's a fucking unit.
That's what it is. Oh my God. It's just, he's impressive. I just, every time I watch him, like throwing around Brooks Jensen like a ragdoll, I'm like, oh, he's going to do that to Josh Briggs. Oh, he's going to do that to Jijak. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to get so many meat matches from this guy. Oh, he's already so fucking good. And he's had like 8 matches.
I just,
it's like, he's like, literally, it's like they got, that's like, oh, Bron Breakker's getting called up. Don't worry. We have Obafemi, another fucking unit.
I just, it's like they took the best of Brock Lesnar and the best of Omos and then just put them together.
You know, because he's so tall. You know, he's just, I mean? So fucking big.
I was looking at it and I was like, Dijak versus Oba is going to be fucking ridiculous.
And fucking they were ridiculous. 7 feet tall. And you can't teach that.
I just, I like, regardless, I mean, they're going to boom on the main roster, Oba. They're just going to do it because he's.
Oh, dude. I don't know, man. I mean, they're not calling him up anytime soon, but they're just like, he's one of those guys. It's just like, it's impressive to look at him. He is an impressive fucking human being.
I just want to see what else comes of it. Cause like, you can tell in the matches, he does impressive shit, but then it comes to the character work. And that's where the leg's going to have to walk and run.
That's what NXT's, you know, for, baby. Yeah, so
he's got to be there to figure the character out. Cause the in the ring stuff is not going to be an issue by any means. It's just, what, like, I get that his character is his native, you know, whole thing, but like, what else is it to it? You got to add layers to these things, which he can spend time the next 2 years doing that. And I think that's important. Yep. Going forward. I think it's time to just get to the big old finish, if you like.
Big old finish WrestleMania on SmackDown next week. We have Bayley versus Dakota Kai. Rey Mysterio returns, and we should hear about these tag team bullshit. And I think there'll probably be more Rock and Roman stuff as well.
Someone said it was in Memphis, so that The Rock would do the Memphis concert, which I think would be hilarious. Oh,
yeah, you know what? They did say, yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that.
If he actually, in fact, does that, because I'm sure he'll call Cody's dog a fucking, what did he call the Cody's dog?
He's just making fun of poor Pharaoh.
Yeah. The fucking emotional support dog. The poor bastard cries enough on TV. He's got a fucking dog he's got to yell about. Anyway, I don't care about Bayley and Dakota. I think that thing is just kind of like, it is what it is. It's a natural thing, but I'm not interested in it. Rey Mysterio, all-time legend, love what he does, but don't care about whatever the LWO is. And then for me, I'll be curious to see what The Rock does. I'll be curious to see what the tag team situation is, but I don't want the LWO in there. I don't want, you know, Legado del Fantasma in there.
The LWO is in the NXT tag team tournament, so I don't think they'll be part of the tournament. My guess is it'll be Bate and Dunn versus, I bet you they'll split up AOP and the Profits, and they'll both cost each other, and the two teams they face will win. So it'll probably be, my guess will be Butch and, or Dunn and Bate, and then maybe it is a Legado Boys. I don't know.
Mm, okay, that's fine. And what else we got?
On Monday Night Raw, I think Becky Lynch and Nia Jax are facing off in some sort of match. And then we have the three qualifiers for the Raw side of the tag tournament.
I don't necessarily care about the Last Woman Standing match because I feel like that's going to lend itself to more chicanery. So it just feels like it's a stopgap for me. And then finally, I would look at it from a perspective of these tag team title matches. The one I'm curious about is the Gargano Ciampa Creeds. Yeah, I think that's the Creeds. One I'm going to be glued to. Yeah. And I just feel like the Creeds haven't been on TV for, it feels like, 2 months. So
they've been like backstage, but they haven't had, I don't think they've had a match in a while.
Yeah, it feels like it. And I feel like the Triple H loves his Gargano Ciampa connection. So I feel like that's going to be the winner there. I really do. I know you probably think I'm fucking on another island here, but it feels like that.
I think they might just be left off because they've already had their shot like twice, I believe. So, and
well, Drew McIntyre like, three times.
I feel like the Creeds would be one of the favorites to actually win the title. So,
okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Anything else?
I don't know. I didn't write anything else down, but there'll be good shit on NXT next week. We'll be going up against it. AEW just announced that I believe Christian and Edge for the TNT title is next week. I'm sorry. Will Ospreay is yelling on my TV right now. I'm really mad I can't hear it because I fucking love listening to this motherfucker talk. And he's probably swearing by mistake. If like I looked at this card for the Boston show, and obviously I was upset about missing Mercedes. I wanted to see Wardlow, obviously. But like this is the other thing I wanted to see was Will Ospreay.
Well,
the rest of the card looked like dog shit. Yeah, I don't care. I want to be out there when Will Ospreay's fucking yelling. Oi, oi, oi.
Okay. Well, it's just going to be talking about Brian, I'm sure, at this point. So it'll
I don't care. I could listen to him talk all day with his fucking awesome accent. He's the fucking man. If you don't like Will Ospreay, you're a fucking idiot. So
I'm just saying he kind of has my haircut right now with his little bangs and stuff on the side.
But he does it so much better than you do.
He also has tats. I think tats automatically enhance anybody. So it is what it is. If you have biceps and taps.
Yes. You need to be attached to the muscles. If I had on my fucking little stream bean arms over here, if I had tats, it wouldn't be as impressive. I'd look more like a fucking meth head.
Well, thanks for smoking meth, Rock. All right. On that note,
that was a Rock reference.
On that note, thank you for listening and watching the Jobberknocker podcast. We'll be back next week with some more Jobberknockery.